We shift our focus now to an election scandal in Afghanistan. There appear to be two winners. It's a big headache for the U.S. John Kerry, Secretary of State, has sounded the alarm bell over possible power grabs in Afghanistan, and there are serious consequences after outgoing Afghan President Hamid Karzai has refused to sign a long-term agreement to keep U.S. military forces in the country.
Ensuring that we have a leader of Afghanistan with the stature necessary to lead the country, it's important for people to have confidence in the conduct of the election and in the outcome. And so that's why we're seeking both candidates to remain engaged in that process.
That's White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest there after a former World Bank official, Ashraf Ghani, was declared the winner of a runoff election by a million votes. His opponent, ex-Foreign Minister Abdullah Abdullah, has charged that the election was rigged. Yesterday, he declared himself the winner. Hassan Abbas is author of The Taliban Revival, Violence and Extremism on the Pakistan Frontier. He's a senior advisor at the Asia Society. Help us to understand what's going on here, Hassan.
I think this is something which was expected in terms of a rivalry between the Pashtuns and the non-Pashtuns. Ashraf Ghani Ahmadzai is a Pashtun, and Abdullah Abdullah, the head of the Northern Alliance, represents the Tajiks, the Uzbeks, the Hazaras. So this one thing which we need to understand is this is the ethnic rivalry which was expected to come on the fore. The second point, however, is this is the second stage of a presidential election. Afghanistan has come a long way, and hopefully this will be resolved in some form or shape through a power-sharing formula. But this is, in principle, an ethnic issue which was bound to come up.
Although this makes you look perilous in the sense that this is exactly the same kind of solution that happened in Iraq. They really couldn't come up with a clear solution ethnically within Iraq. So they had a Kurd as president, a Shia as prime minister. And you've seen what happened in Iraq. Can a power sharing agreement really work here?
That's a good example. But I would argue that Iraq's example will become relevant if they'll fail to resolve at this point. In case of Iraq, it was much more complicated. There were Kurds also, there were Shia Sunnis, and then there was regional players as well, five or six of those, all of them trying to have their say. And then the larger, unfortunately, the Shia versus Sunni battle that has become a major issue. In Afghanistan, the primary focus was perhaps Taliban versus all those others who wanted a democratic Afghanistan. So in principle, this is a fight in case of Afghanistan between those forces who believe in democracy, who want a better Afghanistan. That's why I have some hope that there is more prospects of resolution in case of Afghanistan, because Taliban are sitting on the sidelines. Mullah Omar had declared they are against democracy. They are waiting on the sidelines for the system to collapse. Now, it is up to both Abdullah Abdullah and Ashraf Ghani to make a point and make it clear that they also want progress and a democratic Afghanistan so that the prospects of Taliban revival are defeated.
I don't want to push this Iraq metaphor too far here, but since you responded to it, I mean, that brings the U.S. troop agreement right into the fold here. That's exactly what happened in Iraq. If there is no agreement to keep military troops in Afghanistan, then Mullah Omar may be correct in just allowing the U.S. troops to leave and waiting for this power-sharing transition, whatever it turns out to be, to collapse, and then we're right back where we started.
The difference here is, and I say this based also on my recent, 2 weeks ago, I was in Baghdad and Najaf and Karbala, and I saw this the crisis erupting, although I was in the kind of safe area. But the example that I think it's relevant, in case of Afghanistan, however, the President of the United States has already announced that we are going to continue to have about 10,000 or so, or 8 to 10,000 forces on the ground till 2016. There is a NATO component. There is international security forces there as well who remain committed. In case of Iraq, there was this kind of a hurry, if I may call that. We wanted to really disengage. And there were people, and now we know from some of the stuff coming from the Vice President and others, US was really wanted to be out of that. that crisis, because the American people were no more behind U.S. presence in Iraq. In case of Afghanistan, the stakes are slightly different. The approach is different because of Al-Qaeda, because of Taliban. So there's a comparison there as well in terms of the forces agreement. But here also the difference is in Afghanistan, both these contenders, Ashraf Ghani as well as Abdullah, they have given very clear indications that they will sign for that agreement. They want U.S. forces to stay. In case of Iraq, there was a consensus. Everyone wanted that U.S. forces and international forces should go out. So coming to the present crisis, the concern is that I think the Taliban are the happiest people at the moment. They want this democratic experience and election system to fail. And just see a look at the attacks yesterday in Kandahar, a major attack with 22 suicide bombers. The good point was the police was able to take out about 20 of those. But another attack in which 16 children and women died. So Taliban can potentially gain a lot if this crisis persists. It is in everyone's interest to convince Abdullah and others not to go for a parallel government, and for Ashraf Ghani to also show some sagacity and wisdom and say that, okay, he's open for investigations. Let's the election commission investigate, get all the support from US, from international community, take another month, but all votes should be counted.
All right, Hassan, the takeaway sounds like possibly changing that troop agreement would be the key to the solution here. Hassan Abbas is senior advisor at the Asia Society and author most recently of The Taliban Revival, Violence and Extremism on the Pakistan Border.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.